So today you may feel like you drink from a water hose a little bit as we, a fire hose as we get started here. We are going to tackle the book of Acts, but I do think there's a foundation that we have to build before we get started. So again, there's going to be a lot of verses, a lot of scripture. You may have to take some notes and go home and study for yourself. But over the next couple months, could be up to a year, we're going to go verse by verse through the book of Acts. And Acts is not the beginning of the church, as a lot of people assume. You know, a lot of people want to start the church in Acts chapter 2. And the book of Acts is not a manual for our Christian living today. The book of Acts is a transition book. It's a bridge between two divine programs. On one side of that bridge stands the kingdom, which was promised to the nation of Israel. It was prophesied since the world began. It was preached by Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples. It was confirmed with signs and miracles and wonders. On the other side of the bridge stands the dispensation of the grace of God. It's a mystery hidden in God, revealed through the Apostle Paul, and directed to Jew and Gentiles alike. So before we walk through the book of Acts, we have to lay a foundation. If you don't understand the kingdom program, you're not going to understand the book of Acts. If you don't understand Acts, you will never rightly understand the age of grace. So this week is about preparing for the book of Acts. It's preparing for what's to come. When we get into the book of Acts, and a lot of this will be repetition after today as we go verse by verse, Israel is still expecting that kingdom. The apostles, the 12, are still preaching to the nation of Israel. And God patiently and purposefully beginning to set the kingdom aside. In the middle of the book of Acts, it begins to set aside and he raises up one man. He raises up the apostle Paul. He's not one of the 12. He's not a kingdom apostle. He's a persecutor who turned preacher. He is the apostle Paul. So over the next few months, we're going to watch this transition from prophecy to mystery. From the Israelites and from the throne of David to the body of Christ. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Before we get rolling, look at 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let's open up with prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that if we begin to study it, we can learn from it. We can grow from it. We can be encouraged. We can be convicted. We just pray that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me this morning and to encourage, to convict, to begin to study, to understand what the Word of God is saying, Lord. And we just pray in your precious Son's name, amen. Here in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says we must rightly divide the Word of truth. There is divisions in the Word of God. We have to divide between God's kingdom program, which was for Israel, and his grace program for the body of Christ, the church. They are not the same. God has two distinct programs in Scripture. The kingdom was prophesied for Israel's earthly glory, whereas the grace program, the mystery given to Paul, offers heavenly life to the body of Christ. You can go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He had a plan for the earth. He had a plan for the heavenlies. What's happening today is not his plan for the earth. We all know Satan is in control of what's happening in the world today, but that's not the end result. So the first thing we want to look at is that kingdom program. In the Gospels, we see Jesus Christ. He is ministering to the nation of Israel with the promise of an earthly kingdom. Look at John 1:11. So in John 1:11, it says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And those are the Jews. He came to the Jews. He came for the Jews, offering that kingdom of heaven on earth. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. You look at Matthew chapter 10, 5 through 7. He's talking to the 12 disciples. And he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He tells them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach that kingdom program. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here it is. It was a Jewish-focused message. Israel's king was finally here, and his kingdom was ready to be set up. Back here, the nation of Israel was to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, starting in Jerusalem, and spread the good news that Jesus Christ was born. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And as we go through the book of Acts, you're going to see that everybody had to become a proselyte to be saved. The gospel of the kingdom was for the nation of Israel. In Matthew 19:28, he says, he declared to the 12, ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, in the end, there will be a literal earthly kingdom set up for the 12 disciples to sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. This is all part of the kingdom program, that covenant promise to Israel. It was a land. It was a king from David's line, a worldwide kingdom of peace. This is a kingdom program, a literal, political, messianic kingdom on earth with Israel restored and saved as a nation. You can see in Acts 3:21, I won't go deep into it, but Acts 3:21, you can see 19 through 21, repent ye therefore, that your sin and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Again, Jesus Christ promised all this before the world began. Even in Acts 1:6, even in Acts 1:6, he says there, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Again, this is a literal earthly kingdom the nation of Israel is waiting for. This is prophecy. It said there that it was spoken by the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began. We can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And again, it was accompanied by water baptism, miraculous signs of the kingdom. And it's a foretaste of that coming glory. But the nation of Israel rejected their king. You can go back to the Old Testament and you can see that the nation of Israel rejected. They all said, we want to be like all the other nations. We want to have our own king. And he says, they're rejecting me, not you, Solomon. And then we know at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So they rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They reject Jesus Christ the Son with the crucifixion. And so many people want to immediately start the church right then and there. But to me, there is a third and final rejection, which is in Acts 8 with the stoning of Stephen. And that is the final straw. They reject him. They crucified the Messiah. They rejected the Holy Spirit. And at that time, the wrath of God was supposed to come. The tribulation should have started. We saw that in the book of James. Again, they were ready for the tribulation. But he sets a time period apart. And that's where the book of Acts comes in. When Israel rejected the kingdom offer, God, with his amazing mercy, postponed the kingdom, and he ushered in a whole new dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God. Again, and as we go through the book of Acts, we'll see Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners and the leader of rebellion. He is the apostle of the grace of God. A mystery was unveiled to the apostle Paul that had been hidden for ages. Look at Romans 16:25. Again, so before we said the kingdom was prophesied, it was foretold. That word prophecy means a foretelling of that kingdom program. Romans 16:25, what the apostle Paul says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." It was only made known after Christ's ascension to the apostle Paul. Again, we can go time and time again. Paul received it. He called it the gospel of the grace of God in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, "The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." This is where we begin, that Jew and Gentile are no longer, they're one body in the body of Christ. They're centered on Christ's finished work of the cross. It's not about that earthly kingdom any longer. We all know Paul preaches that through Jesus' death and resurrection, salvation is a free gift. That's in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Look at Galatians 1. Galatians 1 as well, another portion where he talks about what he had received. Galatians chapter 1, 11 and 12. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." So where did Paul get the gospel if it was not after man? Verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, again, in Romans 16:25, it said that it was a secret, hidden, never before told. And now the Apostle Paul received it from Jesus Christ, not from men. It has to be different than the 12. There was no need to bring Paul in if it was the same message as the 12. Paul's doctrine came straight from the ascended Lord in heaven. So this is where we talk about the church, the body of Christ. God is no longer dealing with Israel as his covenant nation. He is calling out a new spiritual body. It's made up of both Jews and Gentiles. In Ephesians 2:14, you can look that up later too, the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile is broken down. Look at Romans 11:13. Romans 11:13. Here he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Go to Ephesians 3. We read it for our scripture reading, but let's look at Ephesians 3. Here the apostle Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So here he was, the prisoner for the Gentiles. "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you word." That word dispensation in the Greek is oikonomia, which means household of rules. In each and every dispensation, God dealt with mankind differently. Doesn't mean his characteristics changed. But we can go back to the Old Testament and see there was animal sacrifices. We can go back to the Old Testament and see circumcision. We can go back and look at water baptism. God dealt with mankind differently through these dispensations. Ephesians 3:3. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." So again, a revelation is a revealing directly to the Apostle Paul. It's a mystery only revealed to the Apostle Paul. whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The prophets knew nothing of this plan. It was hidden in God until revealed to the Apostle Paul. If there's a secret today, yes, I'm sure we share it with one person, and that person shares it with one person, and then all of a sudden we have 8 million people that know our secret. But when it was hidden in God, in Jesus Christ, and only revealed to the Apostle Paul, there is nowhere else to be found except what was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Under the kingdom gospel, forgiveness was linked to Israel's national repentance and covenant. And we'll go through that as we go through the book of Acts. We all know under Paul's gospel, we have redemption through Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. There is no kingdom required. There is no law keeping. It is Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. The kingdom program had baptism, had signs, had miracles. The age of grace, the Apostle Paul says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The kingdom hope was this earthly glory, the age of grace. Ours is spiritual. It's a heavenly glory. There's two different programs, two different periods, and we have to understand this foundation so we can work our way through the transition, through the bridge of the book of Acts. The next thing I want to look at is that earthly kingdom versus heavenly calling. The kingdom program promised Israel earthly blessings, a literal kingdom on earth. Look at Matthew 5:5. Again, we all know the Beatitudes. We all know this message. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He's dealing with the nation of Israel. He's talking to the nation of Israel. Christ will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem with the 12 apostles who will govern Israel's tribes in his kingdom. You can go back to Isaiah and talk about Isaiah 2:3. It says, out of Zion shall go forth the law. It locates this kingdom on earth. Israel's hope under the kingdom program is Messiah's earthly reign and the restoration of paradise on this planet. Look over one page to Matthew 6:10. Matthew 6:10, a couple years ago or a year ago, you can go online, but I did a whole message on the kingdom prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And so many people take it out of context. A lot of us have it memorized. But in Matthew 6:10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The nation of Israel, especially during the tribulation period, will be begging and praying for thy kingdom to come down to earth to set up that Israel nation building, that earthly kingdom. That is what they're praying for. When we went to James, in James chapter 1, it was talking about what the trials they were going to go through, the tribulations, the temptations. It's all during that tribulation period. The Lord's Prayer during the tribulation, give us this day our daily bread. If you're not taking the mark of the beast, you have no opportunity to buy or sell. That's what the kingdom prayer is about. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we all stop there, but verse 14 and 15 is even more. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is for the nation of Israel. That is during the tribulation period. That has nothing to do with us today. But so many people memorize it and use it, and then they stop before they get to that portion. But there it says, if I don't forgive my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ will not forgive me. But we can see this is the kingdom program versus the age of grace. So again, it's a literal earthly kingdom that will be set up after the rapture, after the tribulation, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There is an earthly kingdom and there is a heavenly kingdom. Look at Philippians 3:20. What is our hope? What are we looking for? I warned you there'd be a lot of verses today, and I'm sorry. Philippians. But I never want it to be my opinion. I want it to be scripture, and I want it to be what you guys see. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the nation of Israel is looking for this kingdom program. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The nation of Israel is looking for that. The body of Christ, when we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are already seated in the heavenlies. We are waiting to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, which is the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. In Ephesians 1:3, we are promised blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul always says, set your affection on things above. If you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. That's not what we want to inherit. We want to be seated in the heavenlies. So we can see there's two different programs. You have the earthly kingdom. You have the heavenly kingdom. You have the nation of Israel. You have the body of Christ. And as we go through the book of Acts, we're also going to see why Paul. Why did God choose a new apostle to roll out this grace program? And I just wanted to quickly touch on this. But God, in his sovereignty and his plan, he appointed a new apostle to spearhead the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God. It was separate from the 12. The 12 apostles were promised that rulership in Israel's kingdom and ministered to the nation of Israel. Go to Galatians chapter 2. It's a great portion to see this here. There's so much in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. But this is where Peter and Paul sit down and begin to discuss what's happening. Let's start with Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Okay, he has a gospel that he is preaching to the Gentiles. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us back into bondage. Again, they're trying to bring them back to the law, bring them back to that kingdom program, bring them back to what the 12 knew. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So they brought no value, not again, the 12 are preaching to the kingdom, the nation of Israel, and the Apostle Paul is preaching to the body of Christ. Verse 7, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that they should go unto the heathen, that we should go unto the heathen, they unto the circumcision. We see here we have two different messages, two different gospels, two different programs, two different everything. It's not a contradiction. It's not a confusion. When we begin to rightly divide the word of truth, we can see who is for who. Again, Peter came to the Apostle Paul. You can see in Galatians 1, 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The Apostle Paul never went to the 12 and said, hey, what message are you teaching? He received it from the Lord Jesus Christ and he went out and began to preach his gospel. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He did not go back to the 12 and say, hey, I need the scoop, I need the story, I need the message. He had received the message. Look at 1 Timothy 1:16. Paul's life is a pattern for us. It's an example. Again, a lot of places says end sample. Again, we are supposed to he is our example. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Why did the power of the Holy Spirit, why did the Apostle Paul write in me first? I truly believe because he was the first one in the body of Christ. He is the first one. He is our pattern. He is our example. Paul was saved by sheer mercy while he's a blasphemer, persecutor. Not by repentance and baptism as Peter preached to Israel. It begins to understand the exceeding abundant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is God's chosen vessel to reveal the mystery, the age of grace, the body of Christ, to author the doctrine for us today. Again, he says that time, look at 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Here he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And when we begin to mix up Paul's doctrine with the kingdom program, it begins to create confusion. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, you can see him talk about the foundation, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, and he builds upon it. He is the wise master builder. He has the plans. He has the architect. But Jesus Christ is that foundation. But most importantly, I don't want you to misunderstand or think that the Apostle Paul is above Jesus Christ. There's no way, shape, or form. He is no different than the 12. Paul is a man, but he was Christ-appointed apostleship for the dispensation of the grace of God. So many people want to put Paul as one of the 12, or maybe they messed up. And as we go through the book of Acts, we're going to study that too. Should the Apostle Paul have been one of the 12? My answer to that is no. He is the dispensation of the grace of God, which we saw in Romans 16:25. Today, in the age of grace, we do not preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom has been halted, has been paused, has been stopped. We preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, time and time again, he says it's my gospel. Not because he's being arrogant or prideful or, again, that's what the Holy Spirit told him to write, because it was revealed directly to him because it's a new dispensation. We have to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. The book of Acts is a transition period. It's a bridge from the kingdom program into the age of grace. When we rightly divide the kingdom from grace, to me, God's word opens up with an all new understanding. We don't have to fear the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We don't have to fear the book of James, because we begin to understand who it is written to. God has not failed Israel. The kingdom that is promised to Israel will come at Jesus' return. And when we can begin to see this, we can begin to see the rapture and the second coming are two different things. If the rapture is part of the mystery program, you can't find it in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so many people want to look at the second coming as part of the rapture. They're two different events, two different programs, two different situations. The gospel of the grace of God is today. We are complete in Christ because of what he has done on the cross of Calvary. We are seated in the heavenlies. God will eventually keep every promise to Israel. So many people want to say, we become spiritual Israel, and I can't do that. I can't see that. I can't make that happen. If we begin to spiritualize the Word of God, each and every one of us in this room will have a different opinion about Scripture. We have to take the Word of God literal. Every jot and tittle has to be literal. Today, it's about the pure grace age. And so many times we muddy it with law, we muddy it with baptism, we muddy it with we have to go to church, we muddy it with tithe, we muddy it with whatever we want to muddy it with because it feels good. We have to look at it through the eyes of Paul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So again, this is just the foundation. As we begin the book of Acts next week, again, it's just showing us there is a literal earthly kingdom that will be set up after the tribulation, the 1,000-year reign of Christ and all that. But we have to begin to understand Scripture and rightly divide the word of truth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Scripture. We thank you that we can understand the word of God. Doesn't mean I have everything perfectly. Doesn't mean I have everything exactly right, Lord. I pray that you'll challenge my heart as each and every one of us to come as close to the truth as possible. But when we begin to rightly divide the word of truth, as you have told us in Timothy, the message that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, the mystery program, the age of grace, when we begin to rightly divide and know who he is talking to, it begins to help understand Scripture. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for the entire Word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There's so much for us to learn, but it doesn't mean we apply all of it to our lives. But there's so much we can learn from it. And I pray as we go through the book of Acts that you'll speak through me and that you'll challenge each and every one of us. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.